High school, especially the second half of high school, had been a bonanza for me. A chance to rebuild myself from the ground up, find a new way to look at the world that wasn't filled with depression and darkness, but instead going for projects, friends, and experiences. But the side effect of how I'd lived my life before then was that I was a terrible student. If I wasn't interested in the subject, nothing was coming out of me. I was just really bad at putting in the effort for things I didn't find the relevance of. And I can put all of this weight on the teachers and say that they didn't interest me, that they didn't find a way in, and didn't recognize that I was struggling. But it was me. I had been given a gift, not just one of being at a good school, but having been at a terrible one and having that outside perspective that a lot of students don't get if they go through one school system. I knew that I was in a place that mattered, that I could do whatever I wanted at, and there would be opportunity and collaboration and support for whatever I chose. But spending time in a classroom learning rote memorization or trying to find a foothold in what I was learning just seemed a little bit beyond me. And that's how I graduated from high school with a 1.7 grade point average, barely passing. And yet my father, dedicated as he was to the ideal that his children would go to a college, pushed me to bargain, to make efforts, to talk to a consultant, and in some way get myself into a real, actual college. And that was how, when all was said and done, I was accepted provisionally to Emerson College in 1988. But baked into that provisional aspect was agreeing to a program. A program that the school had created out of whole cloth the previous year. And myself and 19 other people found ourselves in the middle of a very bizarre, very, very strange summer. This is the story of the roughly 45 days of my remedial college experience. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. The program that I was put into for Emerson College worked this way. In July, you would go to Emerson College, you would have a dorm room, and you would go through a series of basic educational check-ins, a number of classes taught by a vanishingly small number of teachers, and the 20 of us would be evaluated at the end as to whether or not we were Emerson College material. It is profoundly hard for me to look back at all of this and not understand it for what it was. Having a very small number of guaranteed students who were literally paying extra for the right to go to a college and pay even more money. It was setting us up to have 4.25 years of education paid for instead of 4. Every component of this, and it's now been 35 years since that happened. I've had a lot of time to experience life, to understand frameworks and different approaches people take to problem solving. And time has not been kind on that summer. But there was something exciting about going to college, going at least to college property, being assigned a dorm, lack of curfew, a meal plan, and being in a brand new city, day in and day out, as a 17-year-old. It was, in many ways, super exciting to know that I was going to be living up in Boston for the first time, and that there would be all of these different interesting things out in the world for me to gain, in some way, experience with. Because I'd been in the suburbs, I'd never lived downtown in a city of any sort. Having that constant background noise that a city gives you was new for me. So was having my own responsibility as to when I would go home before sleeping and experiencing another day. It wasn't quite independence, for sure. Because it was a remedial course, you had to check in. There would be people assigned to just you, to keep track of you, to make sure that you didn't stray away too far. It was a bizarre kind of half-world between high school and college. We were way too old to be considered children by any stretch, and we were too young and too controlled under this situation to really feel independent. Each one of the people who were in this program were all in there because their grades hadn't lived up to the bare minimum that Emerson College needed, which means each person had a unique and interesting story of how they found themselves there. There were folks who had really notable talents in drawing, singing, performing, and there were people who you could tell had kind of bounced around from one nebulous idea to another and had found themselves wanting to be in performing arts or broadcast or film and thinking Emerson was their only choice. During the rounds when my father had taken me to different schools, I had seen some other opportunities. But there was something about Boston itself, something about being in that city, I wanted to make the centerpiece of being at college. So Emerson was really the only choice for me. On the first day, we were assigned rooms, and within about an hour, my roommate had decided this isn't the person I wanted to be with. And putting his arm around me in a conversation I still remember, he explained to me that there were other people who would be a better match, and why don't we switch? In retrospect, he was completely right. Try to imagine, if you will, two deadheads, three nerds. One deadhead was with two nerds, and the other deadhead was with one. And the two deadheads figured out pretty quickly that they could get the nerds all placed together. Being one of the nerds, it was both positive and negative. My roommates in this very large room with three beds in it, three desks, and a view right over Beacon Street, were definitely quiet. We were thinkers. Two of us were artists, one of us was a writer. I was an artist, and the other artist wanted to be an animator, and that's all he wanted to be. He wanted to draw things, photograph a series of images, and animate them. Anything he was doing was focused in that direction. But he didn't realize how much of that would require being a part of companies, apprenticing with them, doing day-to-day cleanup and office work until the moment came that you'd be given the opportunity to use spare equipment and unused facilities to show you were worthy of making your own works. For me, I was still cartooning on a daily basis, sitting in common areas, drawing all sorts of cartoons, comic strips, and character ideas, enough that one of the other remedial students started calling me Sketch. And that's how I'm known as Sketch throughout the last three decades. Besides my drawing, I was fascinated with going through the library, checking out films, checking out videos, and watching them, playing with the radio stations and going around the facilities that Emerson College had, learning what was going to be there if I passed this program. Our days, 5 days a week, were filled with abundant amounts of what could only be called junior high school. Attempts to make sure that we understood basic math, basic writing, verifications that we could read a book and write a paragraph summary of it, or be able to talk at length about something we read, an essay or a passage in a book, and be able to discuss it intelligently. Everything they were doing was not so much to give us new information, to excite our minds with a horizon opening up, but just trying to verify if we even knew there were horizons, or that anything could open up, or that we were capable of taking interest in anything to learn. The variant group of people in this class reacted in very different ways to everything going on. Some of us, it appears, got the message. They buckled down. They learned everything they could. They took notes like they never had and had reports ready to go at any given time, knowing that this was the moment. This was the wake-up call, the loud alarm saying, you've got to take this seriously. And for some of us, it was just another chapter in a series of just getting by. Trying to dredge up incidents and actual day-to-day experience for this is a little fuzzy for me. There's an interesting experience here, thinking about memory and how we put together what we recall, finding how easy it is to take those 40 days that I spent on the property and combine them, mash them up with the other 4 years. It's very possible that some of the people, some of the experiences that I have in my mind as taking place in July and August of 1988 could have happened elsewhere, later, with different people. The mind kind of throws things together. It puts together narratives, often with you as the hero, the person who was wronged, the person who understood things clearly where nobody else did. Unfortunately, years of working in documentary and oral history have taught me how quickly our own minds lie to us to make things seem better or worse or more of a victory than they were. A couple moments in there do stand out to me. One of the students had a birthday in August, and some of the other students hired a stripper. And we put together a prank where it was another lecture, a career lecture, and while we were all standing around, a really nice-looking guy with a really good tan and a gray suit came in and said he was going to talk about radio, and he asked for the person's name, and then he turned on his boombox, did an incredible amount of stripping. That actually went on campus, during these classes. Only years later have I seen that there may have been some questions in doing that. The other major thing I remember was that we had three professors, three teachers, who may have been mere adjuncts hired for the summer for a little extra cash, whose job was to run these three different classes on English and math and other subjects. And one of them started to really lose it. She really found herself confronted by some of the students asking questions about where these lessons were coming from and where they were going, or asking for more information about why this fact was this fact. The actual curiosity of students. But for whatever reason, her grip on authority and her patience with us wore thinner and thinner over the weeks. And I remember during one of the classes, she sat us down and just yelled at us for 20 minutes. Just the final breakdown, the final moments of explaining how ungrateful we were, how we were absolutely undeserving of a second chance, how it was important to learn and take things seriously, and the people who were joking with her and questioning her were throwing their lives away. I just remember her literally cackling, literally laughing at the top of her lungs at us, and all of us looking and realizing we were not to take this personally. Something else was happening here. Some other factor was going on, and empathy was the order of the day. She took a little time off after that, didn't return for a while. Other memories, they're hazy. There were pranks people were playing with each other. At one point, all of my furniture ended up in the hallway, which, to be honest, I loved because fun pranking to me was part of what I was hoping the college experience was going to be. By the time we got to August, we were given the news. All 20 students had been accepted to Emerson College. We all had the freedom and the option of being brought into the class of 1992, and if we wanted it, it was there for us. Out of the 20 students, 19 of us took the offer. 19 of us became students of Emerson College, and one of us, believe it or not, decided instead to go to Juilliard. For me, I was just happy to take this off the plate. I knew how important college was to my father, how he had been one of the first of his family to actually go to school, and not just go to school, but go to engineering school, gain a full graduate degree, and get a full career in his chosen field. The idea of that dying with him was not something he wanted, and so at least, as the oldest, I could promise him that I would go, and I would do my best. There's a thousand stories of my experience at Emerson College. I've even told some of them here. At the end of the day, after 4 years of working in film and newspaper, radio and television, performing on stage and being crew and roadie, and reviewer, taking in all that I did, I was able to look at myself in my last year and know that the days of 1.7 grade point averages were behind me, and that due to my efforts, my recalibrating myself for a college career, I'd be graduating with a 2.1. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Josiah Lusher, James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Sembiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Perhaps not surprisingly, this remedial program lasted precisely 1 year.